challenging an obstacle seems, the more obviously it will test and try our abilities, our capacities, and our qualities that we feel we've trained ourselves to possess throughout the years. I don't know if you guys have watched Evan Almighty. It's basically a sequel to Bruce Almighty. It wasn't as awesome as the one with Jim Carrey in it, but, you know, you got to give it to it. It had its certain moments. And there's this part where Morgan Freeman approaches the wife of the protagonist and says, "When you pray to God for patience, does he make you patient, or does he give you the opportunity to be patient?" So when we're facing a situation that we find challenging and uncomfortable, it probably means Allah wants to bring out something in us. He sees some sort of potential within us to handle that challenge, and by going through that storm, we are going to come out as a better, stronger version of ourselves. Isn't that the whole point of life? To better ourselves, or like the hadith says from Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, for our today to be better than our yesterday. Because the Imam says, if your today is worse or less than your yesterday, then you've lost. So it's really important for us to take these matters into consideration and really trust in the process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. Because I can plan and God can plan. At the end of the day, it's going to be what God plans. So I might as well just follow God's plan with faith and determination. It's going to be what He wants anyway. But if I sulk and pout and be dramatic about it, I won't achieve the things that I was meant to achieve through the hardships and difficulties that are an innate part of life, and I would have to go through either way. So at least keep a positive attitude. And weather the storms of life with trust in Allah and absolute certainty that you are enduring it for a reason and you're going to come out of it a better person. If we constantly set ourselves to avoiding adversities and difficulties in life, whether big or small, then we're not going to achieve anything, because anything that's worth achieving comes with a great degree of hardship and difficulty. And if we constantly live in the fear of getting hurt or losing and failing, then we won't be able to do anything in our lives. What we need to do is believe in ourselves, but most importantly, believe in our Creator, and that He has compact and He has folded the entire universe into our existence, and we have the potential to be either the best of Allah's creation or the worst. And the choice is entirely up to us. Thank you for being with us on today's episode of The Lantern. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi aman Allah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul
qulub. Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
listeners, especially. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, September 12th, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers in IRIB English Radio. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including reception reports from Han Hardung from the Netherlands, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Howard Barnett from England, and also here we have a reception report and a short message from Franz Hennis from Sweden. So, Franz, Han, and Mizanur Rahman and Howard, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And also, many thanks to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which here I mention some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. So, from India, we have an email from Hasna Manzil. From Italy, we have an email from Alberto. From Germany, we have an email from one of our regular listeners. From Reinhard Klein Arendt. And guess what? Here we have an email. Of course, as well as a postcard, yes, a postcard and an email from one of our regular listeners, and this postcard and email is from Jyrki Hitonen from Finland, one of our regular listeners. So stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages. Welcome back. Here we have an email from India. This email is from Hasna Manzil. Hasna Manzil from India says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am a listener of worldwide radios, and this time I had a chance to listen to IRIB English Radio based in Tehran, Iran. I would love to listen to your radio regularly, so please send me the frequency guide of your station with complete details of the programs. I shall be very grateful if you do it. Thanks and regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, Hasna Manzil from India. I do express my warm gratitude to you for sending us this email. And thank you very much to inform us, to let us know that you listen to IRB English Radio most of the time. And regarding your request about sending you the frequency guide of IRB English Radio with the complete details of the programs, you can refer to our website, because the frequency schedule, the time of the programs are available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the frequency guide of IRIB English Radio. Again, Hasna Manzil from India, many thanks for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And as I said, from Italy, we have an email. This email is from Alberto. Alberto from Italy says, "Dear sirs or madam at IRIB English Radio, I sent you my reception report with a short audio recording of your transmission. I was very pleased to listen to your station. My name is Alberto and I live in Figline in Sisa, Valdarno, 40 kilometers south from Florence, Italy. Please send me your paper QSL card or paper verification letter by post. For me, it would be a great gratification. Thanks in advance and best regards." And salam and warmest greetings to you, Alberto from Italy. Ciao. Many thanks for sending us this email, Alberto. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region. As you said, you live near Florence, Italy. That's great. And your region is called Valdarno. So you receive the signals of IRIB English Radio. So please, in your upcoming emails or letters, let us know what you think about our programs. Let us know which program or programs you like the best. Yes, we're waiting for that. And also wait for an EQSL card, because it's not possible for us to send you a paper QSL card in the time of the pandemic. Yes, that's the reason. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL. Many thanks for sending us this email. Alberto from Italy, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon and your views. So, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Germany, from Reinhard Klein Arendt. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Before reading an email from Reinhard Klein Arendt, I should mention that here we have a reception report and a short message from Sweden, from Franz Hennis. Franz Hennis from Sweden says, "Dear Madam or Sir, I would appreciate confirmation of my reception report with your QSL card. Best regards." From Franz Hennis from Sweden, warmest greetings to you. As I have said several times during our programs, sending a paper QSL card is not possible, but my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL. Many thanks for sending us reception report plus this short message. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Okay, as I said, from Germany, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Reinhard Klein Arendt. He says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, thank you very much for your kind email and the QSL card. In fact, I did not receive the paper QSL. However, I am more than happy to be in the recipient list of your email and receive an EQSL from your radio. Please excuse me for the delay for answering. But beside of having more work than usual because of COVID-19, we had severe flooding here in the region and we had to do a lot to get things organized again. Though our house was not affected. My best greetings from cool Germany. We have a great summer here, 16 degrees in the morning and 20 in the afternoon. Take care. Warm regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Reinhard, in Germany, and I do express my appreciation to you for sending us this email and letting us know about what's happening in your region. As you said, although it's summer, it's cool. As you said, it's 16 degrees in the morning and 20 degrees in the afternoon. That's great. It's summer, but it's hot and humid in Iran. It's summer, yes, it's hot and humid in Iran, but in some European countries, it seems that it's cooler. So that's great. Many thanks for writing this email to us, Reinhard from Germany. Write to us soon, and my colleagues will very soon send you an EQSL. As you said, it's in the time of pandemic, and we can't send you a paper QSL card. Anyway, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Kanos, Finland. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, here we have an email plus a postcard from Kanos, Finland. And this email is from one of our regular listeners, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen. He says, "Hello, I have just finished reading another book I got from IRIBWS many years ago. It has been in my bookshelf, but only now I took time and read it. It was about resurrection, judgment, and the hereafter. I read it to learn more about Islam, and I think I understand now a little bit more. The book contains 298 pages. I hope the COVID pandemic will end this year. It has been with us quite a long time and changed our habits. Also, I read from you, Pars website." He means Pars Today website. "That it has increased poverty and famine in developing countries. Enclosed is an MP3 recording of IRIB radio. It has, of course, the information, which I won't read it. Please send me an EQSL card. My receiver is ELAD I use with my computer. I used almost 200-meter long antenna. Yours sincerely, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen from Finland." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen from Finland. I do express my warm gratitude to you for sending us this email and, of course, this beautiful postcard, which has the picture of a scenery in Kanos, a city in Finland. It has a river, it has a forest, and a beautiful city. It's great. Many thanks for sending us this beautiful postcard, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen. As you said, many years ago, before the coronavirus pandemic, we used to send our dear listeners the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, like books, which you said you're still keeping it in your bookshelf and you're still reading it. That's great. So keep it. Of course, after the pandemic, we'll soon start sending our dear listeners the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. We also, like you, hope that the COVID pandemic will end this year. We also hope that health, peace and joy prevails over the world very soon. Many thanks for sending us this email and this beautiful postcard, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And as the time tells me, we have to skip to the next section of this week's Listen's Special. which is, of course, this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Okay. My name is Barton Rogan. I'm 64 years old. I've been listening to the radio, shortwave radio, and particularly the Iranian radio for many years now. I first started listening to shortwave in the early 1970s, so it's a long time ago. There have been a lot of changes in that time. I was a teacher of modern languages for many years. I'm retired now, and I do a bit of voluntary work these days. I stay in the west of Scotland, in Ayr, near where I was born, although for some time I taught in other countries, Spain, Sweden, France, but came back home and lived in the south of Scotland for a number of years, and now I'm back in the west. Apart from the shortwave radio, my main hobby would be now writing about football games, semi-professional football games in the west of Scotland. So I think that about covers it. I think the news that we get from you is very comprehensive. It covers stories that do not normally get covered in this country. And as I said before, it's all about a different perspective on things. There are those who would like the Iranian view never to be put forward in this country, as happened when they took Press TV off the Sky platform. It's a way of silencing different views. That's why it's important to keep IRIB on the air, on shortwave, so that as many people around the world as possible can hear what you have to say. Your station is excellent, and I wouldn't change very much about it. As someone who works for IRIB, must wonder what do our listeners feel about our programs. And the listeners should get in contact, say what they think, good or bad or indifferent, but give their views. IRIB, in my experience, does actually listen to what its audience has to say. So if you're listening to IRIB right now and you don't like what you're hearing, let them know. But if you do, there's nothing like encouragement to help people continue with their work, because the work is important and someone's got to do it.
And here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Am lam ya'rifu rasulahum fahum lahu munkirun.
Or did they not know their messenger, so they are toward him disacknowledging? Or do they say, in him is madness? Rather, he brought them the truth, but most of them to the truth are averse.
In the previous program, we started talking about the 68th verse of the chapter. أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلَ أَمْ جَاءَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِ أَبَاءَهُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Have they not pondered over the statement of the Holy Quran, or has anything come to them that did not come to their fathers of old? We said that as this verse is suggesting, the first cause of people's misery is because they stop thinking and stop reflecting. And the holy book of
Quran is a book for recitation and contemplation as well. But the next two verses start talking about the different reasons for their misery. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Or do they not recognize their messenger, that they reject him? Those polytheists behaved as if the Prophet ﷺ was someone unknown to them, and they were rather reluctant to give credence to his message. But they had known him quite well before, because he had been among them for his whole life, and he was so faithful to his covenants, he really stuck to his words, that he gained fame among them, so much that they named him as trustworthy, in Arabic, Al-Amin. So they confessed to his knowledge and reason. His parents and his tribe were known for them. And again, this excuse lost its validity in the light of this verse. The point that we can infer from this verse, dear listeners, is that a messenger, the one who is sent on a mission for the people to be guided into the path of the Almighty Allah, must be completely known for the people. Their messenger must be from among them to stop them bringing other excuses.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Now, the 70th verse reads, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ بِهِ جِنَّةٌ بَلْ جَاءُهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Or do they say, there is a madness in him? Rather, he has brought them the truth, but most of them hate the truth. This is the last excuse that the polytheists advanced for rejecting the Prophet's message. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ بِهِ جِنَّةٌ. Or do they say there is a madness in him? This means that although they might have known him very well, they did not have confidence in the soundness of his intellect and reasons. It was possible that his words could have been produced by madness, because they did not accord with public opinion. And they believed disregarding the tradition is itself a reason for madness. And this is what they brought out. The Holy Quran refutes all of these excuses of the polytheists by immediately saying, بَلْ جَاءَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُمْ. Rather, he has brought them the truth, but most of them hate the truth. So these are words of wisdom, but because the wise words of the Holy Quran were not in accord with their uncontrolled passions, they tried to deny them. They labeled them insane. And Overall, dear listeners, it is for this very reason that the enemies of religion sully and somehow scandalize the personalities of those who are close to Allah, but and they are aiming to preserve their corrupt ideologies with this. However, the truth must be proclaimed even though the majority of society might be averse to it, and the divine man must not fear at these actions, because the Holy Quran says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They want to turn the light of the Almighty Allah off, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. But the Almighty Allah is the one who completes his own light. The last point regarding the verse is that the verse suggests, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Most of them hate the truth. It means that even among the polytheists, there are some people who cannot deny the truth because they're innately inclined to the truth and its followers. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Why ends when faith begins?
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I'm Atal, the host of this program. This series of Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq. Sheikh Sadiq, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, very happy to be with you.
You're welcome, brother. And Sheikh Qasim, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, in a series of the programs of Viewpoints regarding the speeches and the thoughts of the leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, today we want to talk about the important concept of safety, or it could be also roughly translated as security, and also calmness and tranquility inside, which these two terms or these two concepts are usually juxtaposed, come together. You know, one of the basic needs of human beings is finding peace and security. It could be on the individual level or the social level, and every person around the world wants to have a peaceful life, a life with calmness inside, a life which has no barrier, a life which has no distraction.
But unfortunately, I myself believe that today's people in the world, especially in the 21st century, are very much distracted from the right path. And every day, this type of distractions and obstacles inside the human being, inside the spirit of the human being, are becoming more and more. So day by day, we are away from finding a kind of tranquility inside and peace inside. Sheikh Qasem, let's start with you, brother. So, when we refer to the religion of Islam, what type of peace or what type of security are we exactly looking for?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين. I think these two concepts or notions, I believe the centric one or the one that is placed in center is tranquility and peace, and security actually is one of the manifestations, one of the instances of the way a person feels tranquil or peaceful. So this is a very important point that we have to have in mind. The second point is that we can have two perspectives with respect to peacefulness. One of them is that it's sort of internal, actually, feeling.
That's right.
And the second one is that it's a sort of external one. I mean by internal and external is that, for example, you may be in a situation or a society or in a very specific situation that whatever is going around you is not a sort of secure or tranquil situation. For example, you take Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam in the day of Ashura as an example, that at that time Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was experiencing the most unsecure and untranquil situation. But at the same time, from within Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the report of those people around him, that the more that the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam would fight in that day, the more his face become bright and happy.
The more calmness he will find and tranquility. Yeah. Because the type of, I think, peace that they were looking for in nature was very much different from the type of the peaceful movements that we see nowadays in the world.
Yeah, so this is exactly what I said, that, the situation that is going on around you is not always actually defining the way that you are feeling and you are experiencing from your within about the world.
Yes.
So this helps us to define what tranquility really and truly is, and then we have to go to the fitrah again, that this one thing that is within us with respect to having tranquility. Where it's coming from, we have to seek the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our nature, that ruh, that spirit, divine spirit that has been blown into human beings, that is the source of tranquility that has to be there, irrespective of whether the outside world, the external experience that you're having is a sort of tranquil or secure
life
situation.
Or not, that's right. At least this pandemic, COVID-19, has shown that this type of peace or tranquility that is made around us is man-made. Okay? So a very tiny virus, in the world can remove it all. But what about the peace inside? Sheikh Sadeq, let's get to this very important aspect. Because, for sure we have role models in our life. I mean, the infallibles, the ma'sumin, okay? They had a kind of peace inside. That's why it's the most difficult situation. They could bear it all and bear all the consequences. But the case is that if you want to have this kind of security and peace inside, what should we do?
Let me try to paint a complete picture about safety and tranquility and happiness. So the goal is one goal. It's closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. And the problem is one problem. As we said, it's حب الدنيا.
Yes.
حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة. Right? And we know from the verses of Quran that ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings peace
yes.
to the heart. And we know that ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. We know that they're not sad, they don't have any problems, they're not afraid, they are secure.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closeness to the big guy gives you security. Right?
Okay.
And being away from him, being close to dunya, and we also have this beautiful verse in the Surah Jum'ah. It says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ. So it gives us a sense of what it means to be awliyaullah, waliullah. If you think you are a friend of God, yearn for death. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
No.
Does that mean friends of God yearn for death? They love death? Yes, because death is liqa'ullah.
Okay.
It's going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
And the opposite of death is attachment
to this world.
Attachment to dunya,
right?
So, on one side we have detachment from dunya, being awliyaullah, yearning for death, being friends with Allah and being friends with death, remembrance of Allah, and all of these are synonymous with peacefulness of the heart. And on the other side, on the other end of the spectrum, we have hubb ad-dunya, we have attachment to dunya, and it's source of all of these anxieties and depressions and problems. And why is that so? Because of the limitedness of dunya.
That's all right.
Dunya is limited, resources are limited, and
right.
everyone is competing.
Yeah.
If you're against the world, everyone is going to take away your happiness
yes.
for themselves to be happy.
And just look at the world today, man.
Yeah.
Just look at the people all around the world, how much they are taking medicines. I mean, these pills referring to the psychologists, following different type of therapy in order to find peace inside. And they do not find it. They do not find it, you know. And you know how much the rate of committing suicide is getting higher and higher in the world. The type of deaths the awliyaullah are looking for is very much different from the type of deaths these people are looking for, okay? I mean, that is in order to get back into the very nature of the divinity. Like Allah, as you said, closest to Allah. But this one, I think is because of the obstacles on our ways. And day by day, it's getting harder and harder for the people to find peace inside. Religion, especially Islam in the true sense of the world, I think Shiite Islam can help us very much. At the same time, there are some, it's better to say, systems of thoughts around the world called themselves mystical movements, that they are working in the same place. I mean, but there is a difference between these mystical movements and the religious beliefs, okay? They are giving people prescriptions too, how to find peace and to be secure inside. But if you find the peace and security inside in the true sense of the world, on that time, I think the whole world and the mechanism of the world is going to work properly. And there is no need for an exterior power to execute security and peace for the world. There would be no war. There would be no discrimination. There would be no orphan in the world. There would be no, I don't know, atomic attacks on different countries. Isn't it, Sheikh Hassan?
Yeah, actually, you brought up these mystical approaches or
yes.
mystical movements
yes.
that are now a sort of on the rise in the whole world. I think difference that we can distinguish between these sorts of movements, mystical movements, and the one that the mystical or the tranquility-seeking basics that we can find in Islam is that these sorts of, you know, the modern ones, they lack both the beginning, al-mabda, and the end, al-ma'ad. So this
okay.
is the problem that they have. So they do not start from the mabda of this world because they don't recognize God
right.
as mostly, many of them
Yes.
Or mostly, they don't recognize God as the, you know, the creator of the world. Yes. And the beginning of the creation and the being.
There is a God for them, but say, leave it.
Yeah.
And get to you not yourself.
Yeah, not a true one. Okay. So you are, you know, a sort of...
You are the center of everything, okay.
Yeah, so you are the center,
okay.
And you are everything to, you know, for this world and in this world. And you're not going anywhere, you know? So what is that? The thing is that between these two infinities or nothingness that they have, let me put not infinities, but nothingness that they're experiencing, you try to just keep up with what is going on in the world.
Oh.
So this is what happens in, you know, these sorts of mystical approaches that they have. Contrary to what we see in Islam, that is coming up and that is starting from God, the beginning of the whole being in existence, and then going towards Him again.
Mm-hmm.
So inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now this is the one sentence prescription of the mystical Islamic mystical system, actually. Okay. So this is the problem.
I mean, mysticism, you mean Irfan?
By mystics, I mean Irfan, but not the in the scientific way.
Scientific way. Yeah, you mean Irfan in the true sense way. Of the word. Okay.
So I was watching this show. It was a sort of debate between two, one atheist and a theist.
Okay.
And this atheist, I don't want to call the names. Just, okay. So this one, she said that, you know, I've been meditating for 30 years and I feel this tranquility and things like that. And then she said, "I every time that I wake up, I thank the universe. I thank. And then I give thanks, you know, to whatever is around me and things like that."
Okay.
And then that person, the theist one, he said that, "Who are you thanking?" She said, "I'm thanking the universe." And he said, "Okay, what is this universe that you're thanking, or you're thankful for, and from?" And she didn't have anything, you know. If this universe is just like yourself, is something that is going to perish soon and later, so it's just, you know, a sort of stupid thing to do. What are you thanking for?
And if you ask the universe, I think, if you got a tongue and ask the universe, who are you thanking? For sure, the answer will be Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
Yeah, sure.
So. Thank you much, Sheikh Qasem and Sheikh Sadeq, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listener, for listening to us. To another episode, God be with you. Fi amanallah.
Inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are alive. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies, cause
I don't need
anyone, anything in life but you.
Located in a dry and semi-arid region, Yemen has always been faced with a severe water crisis. The harshness of nature has been exacerbated in recent years by the cruelty of the Saudi-led coalition against the Yemeni nation. Right now, more than 90% of the population struggles every day to find or buy enough clean water to drink or to grow crops. The situation is alarming in Sana'a. The capital of Yemen is home to more than 4 million people and a refuge for hundreds of thousands of internally displaced Yemenis. Sana'a is the only capital city in the world that may run out of water within a few years. Dozens of water wells in Sana'a Basin have already dried up this year alone. Thousands of people have to drink and wash from polluted water sources like ponds and dams, while many have no choice but to send their children to faraway places to fetch clean water. Yemen's network of water pipes, which reaches only 30% of the nation, has seriously been damaged by Saudi aircraft and ground forces. The ongoing war has made the upgrading and maintenance of the water network almost impossible in many places. Saudi Arabia has reportedly been preventing access to storage tanks and pipes, and as a result, more than 15 million people resort to expensive and arduous ways to find enough water for their daily consumption.
The country does have enough water resources for the time being. However, the problem is not having access or not having the proper management for these water resources because of the war by Saudi Arabia and because of the blockade on Yemen's economy. And these two factors are making it almost impossible to properly manage Yemeni aquifers, water facilities, water stations across the country. And these are the primary sources for water for Yemenis. The war efforts by Saudi Arabia are also hindering and sabotaging all efforts to establish a water scarcity awareness program that could help enforce water regulation laws that can help pave the way for a functioning water system that caters to domestic needs, agricultural needs, and industrial needs. However, because of the war, the water system in Yemen is currently in crisis.
At the same time, the Saudi-imposed blockade on the country has prevented the entry of fuel, and therefore a large number of water pumps have stopped working, and the cost of transporting water has exorbitantly increased. The main pumping station for water in Sana'a is currently operating only 60 out of the 330 wells due to the blockade. In addition, since the outbreak of the war in 2015, most of the water projects supported by international organizations have come to a halt. In fact, with the green light from the White House, Riyadh is using water as a weapon to make the civilians succumb to a peace version formulated by the coalition.
Many believe that this is the primary aim or goal of Saudi Arabia, to fuel the water crisis so that panic can ensue. And obviously, when panic ensues, when there's no water access, people take matters into their own hands. And unfortunately, that does result into the deterioration of of establishing proper water systems that regulate how water is distributed and how water is maintained in Yemen. So yes, unfortunately, people have died of thirst, and people have died because of diseases and illnesses that came as a result of people not having access to clean water.
The Saudis have systematically been targeting dams, wells, reservoirs, water structures, and infrastructure, including networks and irrigation systems. That has led to acute water shortages for both drinking and irrigation. In 2016, Saudi fighter jets targeted a major desalination plant in the city of Mocha, causing the disruption of water supplies in numerous Ansarullah-controlled territories.
Well, this is undeniable. Saudi Arabia has a